In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord. To herald your love in the morning,
your truth at the close of the day.
Holy and gracious God,
I confess that I have sinned against you this day, some of my sin unknown, the thoughts and words and deeds of which I am ashamed, but some is known only to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask forgiveness.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The scripture reading for today is written in St. John, chapter 18, verses 12 through 27, and we read together. So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl, who kept watch at the door, and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, I am not. Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said. When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, Is that how you answer the high priest? Jesus answered him, If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me? Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, You also are not one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, Did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, amen. The Word of God, which will serve as the basis for the sermon this day, is found in the 18th chapter of St. John, our reading from verses 12 through 27. As I thought about the sermon and the text for this day, my thoughts were taken back to the past years and the three times I had been called to jury duty. I did discover that when I turned 70, it was good news to know that you were no longer obligated to do that. That made me very happy. The first time I went there, there were several of us who were let go from the duty. We assumed it was because in the questioning to prepare us to see where we were with certain issues, one of the two sides didn't really want us there. I'll talk about the second one in a second, but the third one was, I was accepted. I went to the Macon County Courthouse on that morning. All the jurors were there. We met in a room. And then this official came in and announced to us that the trial was canceled because the person on trial had confessed his guilt. So it was over. The second one, I got to go through the whole thing. And I have to say that there were certain features of it that were very interesting. But also, there was the fact that you observed the people that were on the witness stand being interrogated in order to experience or to receive the insights and truth they needed for the jury to make a decision. And it's not a comfortable position in which to be for those people. It is truly sad and tragic that we see these things all the time. And we know that some of these settings are very, very serious and severe. And so it is that our theme is interrogations. And when we read this text, we were confronted with the fact that we're looking at two interrogations this day. One with Peter and the other with Jesus. Peter's interrogation really has two parts. It begins with, Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood outside the door. History tells us that it has pretty much been agreed upon that the other disciple that went in with Peter was the apostle John. And it has also been stated in a number of places that John was related to Caiaphas, the son-in-law of Annas, the designated high priest for this trial. Here's the first interrogation. Peter is standing outside the gate, and the servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of the man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." This, of course, is Peter's first denial. With that, finally, because of the other disciple, Peter was allowed to go in, and he took himself to the charcoal fire where the servants and the officer were gathered. From there, we move into the second interrogation, which is most critical, of course, because it's the interrogation of Jesus. We're told the high priest, who this time was Annas, then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I have said." There are several things you have to keep in mind here. First of all, Annas was not the official high priest at that time. He had been deposed by the Romans, and his son-in-law Caiaphas would be put in his place. Secondly, it was illegal to have a trial at night. But Annas, who evidently had the respect and or fear of others, held the trial and went ahead and had it at night. There are no witnesses present here. The questions are an effort to entrap the Lord Jesus Christ, which is an amazing thing, since Annas was a high priest, and he knew the Old Testament law that when you bring someone and interrogate them, you needed to have witnesses there to testify either to the fact that it was true or false. There were none there whatsoever. Jesus then mentioned the fact that Jesus never taught anything in secret. He taught in the temple, he taught in synagogues, he taught in the open, and where he taught, there were always present leaders of the Jews. These leaders witnessed Christ. They witnessed his words. They knew what he taught. They knew. And not only that, you might want to remember that there was this one point where Jesus said, if you don't believe me, then believe in my miracles. Believe in the miracles because they testify to who I am. These men, so many of them, had watched, observed, witnessed miracles. Raising from the dead, healing people with all sorts of crippling diseases, and of course those who were demon-possessed. They saw it, and nobody says a word. Annas doesn't say anything. He absolutely has nothing in front of him to condemn him. But then we're told, when Jesus had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, is this how you answer the high priest? Jesus answered him, if what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me? This was absolutely correct and proper for Jesus to defend himself, because he had no other defense. The same goes for us. The same goes for anyone who attacks us, whether it's emotionally or whether it's physically. We have the right to defend ourselves. And again, we note Caiaphas doesn't do anything, or rather, Annas doesn't do anything, but turns him over to Caiaphas. That's the best he can do. This is a very, very evil, ugly setting. That brings us back to the second part of Peter's interrogation. This is from verses 25 through 27. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, you are not one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. That was his second denial. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter again denied it, and the rooster crowed. And this, of course, fulfills the prophecy that Jesus made to Peter before all this transpired. He said, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. I suppose when you stop to think about it, there may be a lot of questions that people would ask, especially people who are not necessarily strong in the faith or maybe don't believe. If God is love and if he cares about the world so much, then why did he let all of these things happen to everyone? Why didn't he put an end to this world at the very beginning? Why didn't he create it a different way? Why didn't he do this and why didn't he do that? Always questions. Did God know this would happen? Of course he did. He knows everything before it ever happens. He sees it all. So why? Well, the answer to the question is, we really don't know all the answers. There's a verse that we've placed in front of the congregation any number of times over these years, and it is a very crucial verse. God spoke through Moses in Deuteronomy 29 and said, The secret things belong to God, but the revealed things belong to his people and their children. And that's what we have in this scripture, the revealed things. And the scriptures testify to this once again in the book of Romans, where the question is asked by Paul, who has known the mind of the Lord? Nobody knows the mind of the Lord. What we know about the Lord's mind is what's revealed to us in Scripture. And this is the eternal love of God that he gives us in Christ. Our place is not to ask a bunch of questions that can't be answered, but to do exactly as God bids us to do, to trust in him with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. Concerning a prophecy that Caiaphas would make, it's very important to listen to this and understand what he said to the gathering of the Jewish council. This would be a little later. He said to the Jewish council, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. That would be Jew and Gentile, to gather them into the church itself, and finally to appoint that day when he would return and take the church into eternity. All of this includes us. It's why Christ came into this world in the first place. It's everything that the Old Testament prophesied, starting with Adam and Eve when God said to Satan that the seed of the woman would crush Satan's head. The seed of the woman would be Jesus. And from there on, throughout the entire Old Testament, you have prophecy after prophecy of the coming Messiah, the Christ, who would bear the sin of the world and secure our forgiveness. Why did God do this? Why did he go through all of this? We don't know. We don't need to know. We need to trust. We need to understand that before we were born, we were non-existent, only in the mind of God. We knew nothing, and suddenly we were in this world. We've all grown up to this point. We see what this world is. But the best thing about what has happened to us, that in the course of life, God decided that we would be his. And the guarantee of that is on the way to the cross, Jesus, who would do everything necessary for our salvation, who would take away the sin of the world, yours and mine. Concerning Peter, listen to this from Matthew 32, and this is regarding his denials. "To everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny him before my Father in heaven." Peter heard that. He was there when Jesus spoke this. We can only imagine what went through his mind after the third denial and the rooster crowed. Well, we know that once he realized what he had done, he went outside and wept. Which brings us to another text from Scripture that Jesus spoke and Peter heard. "For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" If this world is our main focal point, what we have in it, what we get out of it, whatever it is that makes us happy here, we're definitely in the wrong place. God blesses us in a multitude of ways, but he also reminds us of what the world is. It is a world of sin, and as a result of this sin, it's a result of a world of trouble, dying, and death. There is not one of us here who has ever or will ever escape that until the moment we are called home, called into the eternal life with Jesus. Then Jesus said, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels." Those are stunning words. They make you shiver when you stop to think about it. Have you ever had those moments when you've been around family members who don't believe or friends who don't believe, and they're talking about the church and Jesus, and they say things that are so far off the wall, it's pathetic? It's an opportunity, but sometimes we back away because we don't want to hurt their feelings, or we don't want to put ourselves in a nasty position, or we don't want to find ourselves without families and friends. And Jesus said it very clearly, that whoever makes this world and what's in it its friend is not a friend of him, his friend. It's just that simple. That's what he said here. Whoever is ashamed of me, and that includes the result of our witnessing to Christ, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Father will be ashamed of him. It's that simple. There's a lot of things in these interrogations that bring us to reality about what this world is, how we respond to questioning. I'm pretty sure everyone in this sanctuary has been interrogated. Probably it'd be again when you were children and you got into trouble, you did something you shouldn't, and a parent or your parents questioned you. They started interrogating you. And you probably suspect that they knew the answer, but you would dance around it. Something to think about, isn't it? That's our fallen nature. But everything that we have in Christ directs us to a totally different area. It was quite some years ago, I read about a grave site next to New York City. There's a tombstone. No name, no date of birth, no date of death, no epitaph, no design on the tombstone, just a plain tombstone. With one word, forgiven. Forgiven. I would assume it was a Christian buried there. I would assume if it's a Christian, they're in eternal life. But I thought to myself, how significant, how meaningless it is that we want to preserve so much about ourselves when all of it disappears within a few generations. And for some people, they're totally forgotten at the moment of death. Nobody knows who they are, what they were, where they lived, anything about them. But we have something that surpasses anything here. It's tied up in the word forgiven. And that takes us to the simple fact that God knew us, each of us, and drew us to him and made us his forever and ever. In Christ, we have God's love personally, each of us, forever. Our theme for these Wednesdays of Lent is Think on These Things. And I say to you, my dear brothers and sisters, in light of all of the upheaval, confusion, nonsense, nastiness, all of the violence, all of the incredible corruption that we're witnessing day after day, and how quickly it's moving and where it's going. In light of all that, we have things to think about. Jesus spelled everything out very clearly about this world and its demise. But most of all, Jesus loved you, made you his, and grants you a kingdom. We want to think on that. Amen.
Dearest Jesus, how thankful we are that you suffered the awful price for our sins on the cross, the innocent for the guilty, that you shed your blood to cleanse us from all of our sins, to wipe them away, to cover them. You died to give us life. You suffered our sufferings. And for that we are exceedingly grateful, for as we have once again considered this day, all of that can be summed up in a very simple but powerful word, the word forgiven. Pardoned. That even though we deserve nothing good from your hand, even though we deserve punishment, we are forgiven. And with that forgiveness of all of our sins, we have the hope of being with you forever in eternal glory, in the kingdom of heaven, where every tear will be wiped away from our eyes. Truly, you have moved us from darkness to light, from the shadow of death to the glory of eternal life. We pray that we would ever believe in these truths that you have set before us this day, that you are our Savior, and that you would enable us to live fruitful lives filled with good works. Good works not to save us from our sins, but good works because you have done all good works for us at the cross and the empty tomb. Help us then to go to the cross with you. May we crucify our sinful nature with its passions and desires. And may we be raised up in the forgiveness of all of our sins through everything that you have accomplished for us. We also pray this day that you would teach us, we who believe in you, how we may use who we are and what we have for the gospel. We pray that you enable us to be faithful witnesses to your saving name, that we would proclaim the forgiveness of sins to those who do not know the truth, and yet help us to also understand that in order to proclaim the forgiveness of sins, we must proclaim sins, the reality of sins, what they have brought, where they lead us, their end. We pray, O Lord, that we would never be silent when given the opportunity to speak for you and for the gifts that you have given to us. We pray that not only would we have pardon for our sins, but that the pardon that we have experienced would be given to others. We pray that you would also sustain us and all of your people throughout the world as we journey through this wilderness of sorrow and sin. And according to your own promise, we pray that you would ever be near us and that you would bring us through our own respective journeys to that moment when finally we reach the destination, the salvation of our souls. Hear us now and always as we pray in your name, you who taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you and keep you.